was getting that five-year work done for that particular project. The second project is the septic system itself. Again, the septic system was placed in several years ago for this particular facility. It's located down at the ball field, and it is under subject failure at this particular time. Our office had put together the design plans, submitted them to the Department of Health as well as the New York State Education Department to gain approvals. We have since such time obtained the approvals from State Ed, and we've been working with the district's attorney as well as an insurance carrier and Ms. Hawthorne to work towards putting the bidding documents together at this time. The attorney has reviewed the contract documents, has provided minor comments pertaining to those, as well as the insurance carrier providing recommendations as far as coverage or recommended coverage for that. So those are being implemented at this time. As far as schedule is concerned, we recognize that the proposed work would potentially impact the student body, obviously, because we're moving heavy equipment into the area. The proposed location of the system replacement is located just to the northwest of the existing track. So it's that small grass area, if you would, northwest of the track and south of the bus garage. And so we understand that that particular location is utilized by the school during recess and things of that nature. And we anticipate heavy equipment, bulldozer, excavators will be on site. So we want to limit, obviously, that interaction from a safety standpoint. That being said, it's anticipated that we would have the construction start in the June timeframe right after school ends. That being said, the anticipated schedule for the process would be placing the project out for bid and for all the bids to be received no later than the April timeframe. At the April meeting, that means the board would then be able to award the contract. We would then work with the contractor that is selected, as well as the attorney, to see about getting the contract signed by May. And that gives the contractors May into June to go ahead and order pre-order materials. So that way, at the time the school ends, that they'd be able to begin work right away. And all the work could be completed during the summer break. Therefore, we wouldn't impact the fall session. Right? And that would allow the ball field down below to then be reutilized by the school district, when it's been having issues as far as the dampness at that particular location. So tentatively, that is the schedule. Again, we'll be getting to this together with Ms. Hawthorne to discuss that, and as well as the superintendent to finalize those specific times and so forth. And we'll be getting together as far as publication in paper, notifying contractors. There'll be a pre-bid meeting, so that way the contractors would have the opportunity of visiting the site, and we will arrange that with the school district as well to make sure that, again, as much as possible, any interaction with students could be limited.
Is this going to be limited to any contractor, or can some of our local contractors bid on the project?
By all means, it would not be limited in any way, shape, or form. It would be a public contract because of the dollar amount, because of the state requirements and procurement policies of the state. It is open. It's what's considered to be an open bid. So therefore, it is placed into the papers as well as trade journals, so that way any contractor can bid on it. That being said, it is subject to prevailing wage rates, as well as the insurance requirements, as well as the bonding requirements, as well, performance bonds. So any contractor that would be bidding on the project has to submit a security bond for the bid itself, as well as if he is the apparent low bidder, and if he is eventually awarded the contract, it would be required that he actually post a performance bond as well to ensure that he completes the work within time used fashion.
Okay, on those performance bonds, the bid would, does that help prevent anything for failure in the future?
Not the performance bond itself only is limited to a one-year maintenance. So it doesn't prolong, 5 years, 7 years down the line. It's a one-year maintenance bond that is associated with that. And that's standard for the industry.
Okay. All right.
And it's really intended to make sure they actually finish the
project. Yeah.
Yeah, normally what'll happen is once the project is complete and is accepted, then that performance bond immediately rolls into what is known as a maintenance bond.
And a maintenance bond, does that have anything to do with?
I'm sorry?
The maintenance bond, is that, you said it rolls over?
It's, but the maintenance bond is for a one-year period. So for instance, if within that 1 year, one of the pumps or the piping deteriorates or the system doesn't work for some reason within that year, the contractor is held liable for that 1 year. But it's limited to a one-year period.
Okay, you gotta understand why I'm asking. I'm understanding because of failure of our previous.
Understood, yes. No, completely understand why the question, but unfortunately, it is limited to a one-year period, so.
Yes, the absurd cost of advertising and going through all of this that theoretically is supposed to protect public entities ends once the job is done. If it all falls apart after a year, the government doesn't care so much about that.
Okay, thanks for explaining. Anybody else have any questions for Ray on it?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna move on to public comment. Anyone? No public comment. Move on down to our students' report. Jane Andrew?
So recently the boys' varsity basketball team has, they had their first two games against Pauling and Chapel Field, and they won both of those games. Moving on, in the last few weeks of the last few weeks of school before the winter break, there's going to be a winter dance hosted by the class of 2017 on the 19th, and also on the 23rd, we're going to have the holiday breakfast as we usually do every year in the morning and before we go on break.
The winter concerts have been going on last week was grades 6 through 8. This Wednesday is the 4 through 5, and next Wednesday is the high school 9 through 12 concert. The team organization went on a field trip before we went on Thanksgiving break to a local church in Millerton to help. They donated food and they helped pack foods for their annual Thanksgiving food drive. And this Thursday, the French 4 and 5 class is going to New York City to go see the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, which they've been studying for a while now.
Cool. Thank you very much for your report. Appreciate it. Moving on down to our superintendent's report.
Hey, I just have a few responses to questions that have come up this week. Number one, I put in your packet some information from the Northeast Community Center about a potential grant that they would like a letter of support for. That information was in your packet. Really, they need to be able to report free and reduced lunch rates, which is public information, so therefore they could do it without us, but they're seeking our support because it is for providing after school meals to our students. So
what facilities are going to be used and where is it going to be done?
Okay. I'm going to ask Jenny to respond to that since she's here. That would be helpful.
Sure, we will request full permission to use the kitchen similar to what we do in the summer service program to employ someone from Weepatuck. The way Jimmy has worked for us in the last couple summers to prepare meals to serve here and also at the after school program in the after school dinner hour.
And that would be every day?
Would be every day. Yeah, the components, the grant is from an entity called No Kids Hungry, and its goal is to increase participation in the free lunch and breakfast programs that exist. So part of it would be just sort of promoting the breakfast piece of it, promoting the lunch piece of it, and then adding dinners onto that, and then just working with the population to make sure that anyone who qualifies for things like SNAP and food stamps that we help them get enrolled. So the goal is to have No Kid Hungry, and we'd like to collaborate with the BACAT program as well.
Well, we already have a liaison with the backpack program. It works very well here. I mean, I'm sure Northeastern Food Bank would be happy to work with you. But So this program, unlike the summer program, would only be available to kids who qualified for help. Because during the summer, that's not the case, of course. It's given to first come, first serve, and there's no guarantee that kids we would actually like to help not go hungry are going to be helped not go hungry.
Right, that's a really good question. I don't think we have to limit it. I think the goal is to reach the kids who qualify for those programs first and foremost. So I think to the extent that you have the priority either of making it open to all or preferring to focus on the kids who qualify, we'd be happy to work with you in either direction. Like there's no I don't think, but I can double check that.
Yeah, because in the summer one, what you told us was you weren't allowed to ask. So,
in that case, but it's a different funder and a different program. It's, you know, they'd like us to be focused on food service, and that is part of what we'll do if we get the grant. But this is the goal, is to increase participation for those who do qualify.
It's a great goal, and I don't mean to sound grinchy, but my concern is whether that shortens the life of equipment, et cetera. I mean, if it's going to be used every day for another whole set of meals, and whether there's adequate storage for that in the freezers and things like that, I think we just need to check with, you know, the school lunch manager and maybe maintenance and just see if it has any unintended consequences, that's all.
Right, it's a big grant, so I think that we could, whatever you need from it in order to make it satisfy those concerns, we could probably work into the budget.
Well, on the surface of it, it's hard to say no. I mean, obviously, there are kids who go home hungry, and you certainly want to help if you can. So if we can go into the details further later, I'm okay with it.
Well, here's the thing about that. The deadline for the letter of interest was December 1st, which we got in the... we were given permission to submit the complete application yesterday, and it's due December 31st.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm okay with saying yes now and ironing out the fine details later then.
And we just need to get some feedback from our cafeteria manager to work out the logistics of the...
Right, but what Jenny is saying, we need to sign a letter of support if we're in support so that they can apply for the grant.
Right.
I mean, if something comes up that's a problem and we can't work it out, then. But I can't imagine that we can. So I, for the time being, again, the aim is a very worthy one. So you certainly don't want
to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm okay with that.
Anybody else have questions for Jenny on the program?
Yeah.
Sounds like a great program, new Jenny.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so another question that came up was the Silo Ridge question. We have not heard anything from Silo Ridge since our last conversation about we resubmitted our proposal and they have not responded at that point. I think they're working on other things at this time. But in answer to a question, we haven't had any feedback from them.
And what was our proposal again?
The jobs program.
Right. Okay. Right. That's what I thought. Okay.
Moving on, the question also came up about the voucher program. Mary Gurdon and Cynthia have put some paperwork at your table. Questions about the voucher program, which is a state-aided software program. So we do have a couple of accounting errors that we're going to correct. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Cynthia.
First I wanted to say that we tried to maximize the aid by separating purchases that were purchased through BOCES and also for BOCES aid. However, if they're purchased through the voucher program, we cannot get aid. So everything was done to separate and notify them, okay, these were ordered under the voucher program. So we maximize aid by that way. The MacBooks are in the high school math lab, but they are used by the middle school students because they share that lab. It's just the location and the housing of the...
That's problematic, though, so we're going to need to talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah. We'll follow up on that then. Yeah. And also, the Chromebooks are coded to the elementary school, but they're in the middle school, so we need to take corrective action just to make that correction.
To change that, right. There are other things on there, too, because there's a fair amount of software aid left, and I think that I really would like to have the technology committee get together before vacation, if we can, to come up with plans for that, because there are a couple of suggestions there, but there's a few of them that are not even close to what it would cost. So I want to make sure we don't go buy off the shelf somewhere when, I mean, like Photoshop, it says $585 to $1,000. You can get through Adobe, if you're an educational institution, Adobe Creative Cloud for $240 a year, which entitles you to use every single program Adobe makes. So you wouldn't want to be spending $500 for Photoshop if you could get all of it for $240.
Right.
So we just need to go through that stuff.
I think you just listed those as kind of something to look into, to consider. If you look at the first couple of items, those were the actual items that were requested by the teachers. When they put out a request by teachers to find out what they wanted, these items are listed. I think they were about $340.
And that's all the entire school got in
when
the mail? And that's all
the,
they
when he put it out to the teachers to ask them what they wanted, that's the one he got back. So
maybe it's time to ask them again.
And a committee meeting might bring the conversation back.
Because a lot of times people get busy. They don't, I understand
right.
that. We'll
get back to that email. Okay, thank you, Cynthia.
The only
other thing is there are two resignations that I want to point out. Mary Gurdon, longtime business official's resignation is on the agenda tonight. She will be resigning as of January 16th. And my resignation is on there as well, effective January 2nd. And I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledge the Board of Education and the community for the support and the good work we've done for the past 3.5 years. And I do want to make sure that I come through loud and clear as appreciating this district and this Board of Education and prior boards as well. So thank you.
Likewise,
thank you.
Jim, I'm sorry to see you go, and I wish you the best in your future.
Thank you.
And it's been a good partnership, so thank you very much. And when I have the opportunity, I'll say the same to Mary. So.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Jim. It's a pleasure having you here, working with you. We appreciate everything you've done, and good luck.
Thank you.
I feel you've moved this district in the right direction in many ways, and we thank you for that.
And a group effort, too.
Yes.
A group effort.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Jim. You'll have a conversation with the parents.
Thank you. And that's all I have.
All right, now we'll move on down to consent agenda. Are there anyone want to pull any items?
Yes, and there's one thing, the approval of minutes. There's a minor mistake on the minutes, so I think just pointing that out and approving them as amended is fine. 7.03 DCC agreement. And then under that is amending teacher appointment. The second paragraph of amending teacher appointment belongs under the DCC agreement.
That jumps sometimes.
Yeah, I know when you're entering it into this kind of a shell, that can happen. So.
Thank you.
So that's the only change on that. I would like to pull Jim's resignation. I would like to pull the tenure recommendations for teachers, because I really think we ought to vote on those separately.
Yep,
because it's a big deal. That one is 703.
Yeah,
Jim's just says 7. I don't know. Oh, 701. I take that back. That's it.
Is there anybody else would like to have any poll discussion? Resignation.
everything else okay, everybody? Okay. Are those, do you want to discuss them after we do separately?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So can I have a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
I move we accept the consent agenda as amended.
Okay, motion's been made. Have a second? Second, player. Okay. Any further discussions before we? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. You want to discuss the other two now?
Sure. The one was just because I think we should vote on tenure separately, but the acceptance of Jim's resignation. I also would like to thank Jim for his work over the years, and I want to make this very clear. This is my issue only and not the rest of the board, but I know that some of the rest of the board will not be happy with me for doing this, and I thought long and hard about whether to do it, but I'm not comfortable when we're letting someone out of a contract 45 days early at paying the last days of their contract for vacation. That's just my personal feeling, and it's nothing against Jim, and I know that isn't going to make it any feel better to you, but I think that we need to be mindful of taxpayer money, and that's my reason for that. We're accepting it early. Since we're accepting it early, we have the choice of whether to do that or not, and I'm not in favor of that. So that's my comment on that.
Anybody want to comment on that? Well, the ones you want to discuss too, right now?
Well, we have to vote on this one.
Can we bring that to a vote?
Yeah, we have to vote on this one.
I make a motion that we accept the administrative resignation as stated.
Okay, motion made.
Is there a second?
Second, like this. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did you vote?
We'll move on down.
I said aye.
702?
I just wanted to discuss it.
Okay.
703 is the, 702 is the one that
Chris
is,
wanted.
I just wanted to add, as we do with the action management for Johnson, with regret,
yes.
Much thanks to the area.
Okay, well, there was very much regret that we accept it.
I also want to say that we, I think Mary did an excellent job, and appreciate the time she spent here, and I would like that we send her a note of thanks and
wish her well in her new endeavor. Yes. I believe she's going to become a veterinarian.
Yeah, she has a new
yes.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to be at the meeting in January or not, but if she's not, we wish her best. She's doing what she loves. Not to say she doesn't love bookkeeping, but she really loves the vet job, and that's a very nice thing to be able to do something you love at that stage of your life.
Okay.
So we wish you the best.
Yes, okay. Motion made by Christian, right?
I Chris made
Chris,
it, I seconded.
Motion second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And one's against. Thank you. Okay, now go to 703.
And I think it is a very important thing when we can tenure a teacher. I think it's a very important thing when we can tenure a teacher who is thought of as well as Mr. Lynch is. And I just would like us to make that something less than a consent agenda vote, that's all. So I move that we approve the recommendation of the superintendent for tenure for Mr. Lynch.
Second.
Okay, motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You guys have no problem.
Yes, I didn't say it.
Congratulations to Eric, yes. And wishing him the best success.
Yes. Okay. Our two student representatives, if they like, they can go home and get homework now. Thank you very much.
Got away easy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on approval of school district treasurer?
Will we be taking that up in executive session?
Yes.
The next one is approval of interim superintendent. I suppose that's exec?
Yes.
708. So you are down to 901. Well, it's probably a little different on mine because mine are minutes. So
901.
Is it?
It's the community foundation.
Yes, correct.
Takes us a while to get used to this new format. Here. 901. Okay, curriculum instruction. Set subcommittee for special education report.
That's on. Yep, that's on consent.
Okay. Now business operations. Okay, that was 901. Okay, now we're on 1001.
No, that's the old one.
Oh, you don't have your new one in front of you.
Okay.
Laid it down.
You can give it back, or I can give it back to
no,
you.
That's okay. Keep it.
901, right? They approve of Community Foundation of the Hudson Valley donations. Okay. So, I need a motion to accept the donations. On the reputation of the superintendent of schools, the resolution that the Board of Education accepts the grant awarded to Eric Wiener at the Weaver-Tuck Central School, Florida, grant entitled Hudson Valley Philharmonic Youth People's Concert in the amount of $2,000. Therefore, to be used, Washington grant should be utilized in future field trips of enrichment purposes for school district.
So moved, and thank you to Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley, and congratulations to Eric Wiener for bringing that money here and securing it for the kids.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded by Judy. All in favor?
Aye.
No, thank you very much. We'll send a letter of appreciation. Okay, acceptance of donation from the church, of St. John's in the Wilderness. Okay. Upon recommendation of the superintendent of school, be resolved that the Board of Education accepts a donation in gratitude to the Church of St. John's in the Wilderness for the amount of $360 to be used toward the Weaver-Tuck Backpack Program.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
And again, with gratitude?
Yep. Yes. And go, backpack program goes a long ways. Thank you, everyone that's involved.
It's a wonderful program, and everyone involved in it. It's a volunteer. Nobody gets paid. The kids get paid, and it's a very nice thing.
And we'll have a letter go out?
Sweet. Okay, we're working on item 1002, decision for sale of the Norton Elementary building.
And I'm going to recuse myself from the discussion.
Okay. Okay.
So, basically at this stage, what we're down to is, do we want to do bid or sale? I have a slight correction to make. I mean, if you go with a realtor, you don't have to accept any particular price because, I mean, if someone wants to sell their house and they don't like the bid that's put in, they just don't accept it. But there is a fee involved in paying the realtor, and for me, that's why I would not prefer that. I mean, I realize. Realty is a special consideration, and just because you may know bookkeeping, whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean you know the rest of it, but we have an attorney, which is what a realtor does anyway, is just, you know, you're selling a house, you hire an attorney. We have an attorney. I don't think it is reasonable to expend 6% of the sale price to have a realtor market it. That's just my opinion. I'd rather put it out for bid. I don't know. I mean, if you get the right realtor, perhaps they can market it more aggressively. I don't know, but that's my initial feeling. I don't know how the rest of us feel.
I kind of agree with Judy. You know, I think if we put out the bid at this point, we've been talking to her about this with this sitting board as well as previous sitting boards, and we're at a point now where we really need to make a decision. We've explored all the different avenues that, you know, we need to stop talking about what we need to do and just do something for us, this building goes for the taxpayers as well as for any potential investing.
Amen.
Yes, John.
I support the bid process as well. Dealt with selling some real estate recently, I think we are, with the bid process, you're more in control of the process, and you can, if it works like the other bids, it's not doesn't meet our standards, we can refuse it and rebid it, those kinds of things. Also, I just want to, I personally regret the fact that we have to put the building up for sale. And, you know, I talked before about I believe it's a historical building, and three generations of my family went through that building. And however, we've worked for a number of years to do as we did with the Amenia building, to try to get the town and the village to take over the building in a similar fashion. That process hasn't been fruitful, and we now are in a are faced with some added expenses, and it looks like it's time that we have to recoup as much income from the building and pay off whatever debt and so on that we have. And I think that's the prudent thing to do with the situation that the all municipalities and districts are in now, with added difficulties in getting revenue and so on. So this, I would support the bid process.
Aaron?
I think you want to sort of control preferential. I mean, didn't we say that we kind of want to give it to an agency that works with local families, or even if you kind of want to pick and choose, you kind of can't use a realtor because they're not allowed to do that. So I think it would probably be our best bet for sure. It definitely give you more control.
I agree as well. I think the bid process is the way to go. We definitely will have more control that way. Overseeing the process.
Yes.
I would like to make one other comment, because I do actually read the newspaper, and I realize there may be a perception out there that we are cutting short our promise to let the community have a forum. There are a number of things that went into this decision. It wasn't arrived at willy-nilly or lightly. Bless you. One of the reasons is that the roof is going to need work in the near future. It's not something we can ignore for longer than, say, another year, 18 months. We're at the beginning of the budget process now. If we have to put money into the budget to repair the roof at Millington and to continue to pay the rather considerable overhead that's there, it may very well have the effect of cutting program, and it's not something we want to do now. So while it may seem that it's a quick or precipitous decision, it's not. And one thing I do want to make sure is that from this point forward, we bend over backwards to make it clear that access is available to everybody. I think that one person requested the ability to do a walkthrough and was granted that. I would feel better if we had held off on that and said, put a notice in the paper or whatever and said, anyone that wants to come through and look is welcome to come through and look, even though that's the reality of what it is, nobody else asked, but I think we need to put that out there and make very clear that no one is ahead in this game at this point. Having said that, what Aaron just said and what we talked about last week, or last meeting, not last week, stands too. Ultimately, our best use of the building is to try to make sure that it is a plus for the community. Different people may define that differently, but we want to make sure that we take that into account. So I just wanted to say that to address some misconceptions, I think, or some things that may look one way and not be that way.
Thank you. In this board or boards before this board, this has been a topic amongst the board, amongst the different municipalities. So I just want to follow what you say to just reiterate that this isn't a decision that we just decided to pursue now. It's something that's been through a number of different boards, a number of different elected officials. Everybody's had an opinion and nobody's really stepped forward to have any ownership. So. It's not a decision we just abruptly came to.
Yeah, absolutely.
The discussions actually started probably 10 years ago when the new addition was finished here. We started talking about how we were going to handle the needs of not needing the other buildings when the time came. So these discussions have been going on for a number of years, on and off. So it's not something that's happened just in the last week or two.
My opinion is the same. I think I don't think we should use a reorder at this time. I think we're going to have to go through a bid process. I think we can control it better. The length of time that we receive would be much less than if we went out to a reorder. I also have regrets saying that, like I say, we tried to work with our communities, and fortunate may it be, it's the community can't take it over like Amenia did. You know, like I said, John, many, many generations have gone through that building. It was a community asset, you know. But we just cannot keep being a landlord and keep putting money in the building where we need to spend on this building and this campus here. So I agree that we should put it out to bid. But our next item is we've got to put a price of what we think we should get for the building.
Yeah.
And we've had different...
About the bid process.
Yes.
Is there a time frame you can put on that?
Oh, yeah.
We
can put an end date for the bids to be accepted.
That should be part of the resolution when we get to that point.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we all have to.
Looking around, almost everyone at this table actually, or a lot of people at this table, went to Weavertalk, which is kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah,
don't see that much these days.
Four of you?
You
four.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Oh, you didn't.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You were in Pine Plains.
I
forgot.
I was on the side of Mount.
And you were Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
So it's you two.
My advanced age is my problem. I moved in.
Just do it.
This is my adopted home.
There's probably generations your family do.
So never mind.
We've all had children, we've all had sons.
That's true, and my kids did go here, yeah.
All right. Right now, we have a debt of $424,000. Okay, and that number, whatever we do, we have to put it in a reserve fund to pay that balance off. That's a debt that the school owes on the building. Okay, then, you know, there's been different estimates and things what they think the property's worth and building's worth. I personally think it's worth a little more than that, you know. you know, not that I want to see it go, but I want to make sure we get something that we can.
I just, off the top of my head, I'm just going to throw a number out there. I mean, I think there's a building and there's a substantial piece of property that goes with it. I think $600,000 might be a good place to start. But that's just my, so we need to talk about it.
Yeah. I was thinking 5 to 6. But.
Yeah, I was thinking between 5 and 5.52. I learned from the truck bid.
Okay.
I really
oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Because we'd like this to actually happen fairly soon. So
I think time is of the essence, and I think we really should go a little bit lower than we, than you know.
I could live
we would like to see a large amount, but yeah. I think we should go a little bit lower, like 5.50.
Yeah.
We know what our reserve is, obviously.
Right, I mean, we have to cover the 424.
Yeah, we do.
Another little thing I wanted to mention is that it's probably not necessarily a guarantee that the land use is going to transfer to property, because once it stops being property at the school, the town, I don't know what the zoning classification is right now, but there's no guarantee that, you know, its use right now will continue to that agency or person or whatever. I don't know, someone might want to make condos. Who knows what the use will be? But just so that any bidders are clear, there's no guarantee, and we can't transfer that. That would be a town issue.
Right.
They would have to go before the planning board for some,
planning and zoning
and see what it actually would become if it weren't a school. So that's just something to throw out there.
But that would be something that would
bring it.
That's the purview of the person who buys it, and that's
on
them.
That's on the bidder. I'm just saying out loud that they, you know, we realize that we don't guarantee that it's going to continue to be zoned, you know, in a way that some
budget cycle coming up.
I would be happy to go anywhere between 5 and 550 because it is actively costing us money, and that's, we have to take that into account too. So, well, I know so many people who sold or rented, and like they'll ask for a little more, and then the property sits vacant for 6 months, and it's like, you're not making money then. Yeah, you know, it's not a zero-sum game. If it's costing us money, we can perhaps be a little bit more open to. And of course, that's a minimum bid. If people are, if enough people are actually interested in it, they may very well bid more. But my feeling would be somewhere between 5 and 5.50, and I, you know, everybody throws out what they're thinking. Maybe we can come to a.
Chris, you were saying 5.50. Okay.
5.50.
Yeah. 5.50
sounds good
to me.
Yes, 5.50.
Okay, 5.50 is good
enough.
5.50.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we put 5.50 down, and how long should we leave the bid open for? What's our minimum, like the Kindler?
That's what I was asking.
30 days.
30 days, that's a minimum?
Okay. Yeah, you have to give people time.
Okay,
to,
time, okay.
And we also have to decide where to advertise it, and I think we should go from Albany, New York City, and left and right, I really do. Perhaps, I don't know if NISPA does this, maybe we can talk to them. I don't know.
They can guide us what they need to do.
Talk to
yeah,
them.
True, in New York State School Boards Association. Yes, these days, absolutely, especially in New York State.
Okay.
Thanks.
5.50 for 30 days.
So everybody's agreed on 5.50.
Okay. Awesome. So we can.
Okay. All right, and we'll put it down for 30
days.
30 days. And then we'll open the bid and see what we're at.
Starting which day?
What's that?
Starting on which day?
Well, whenever the bid is actually
yeah.
put out.
Yeah. It should be by the end of the week. We should be able to get it.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
Like, say, starting December
5th.
Monday,
start Monday at the latest?
Then, I mean, if you're going to put in 30 days on it, you want to say when the first
okay.
is
going
to
be. So, 30 days from Monday, which is
the 15th.
I mean,
December
15th to January
15th. Yeah, okay. So, say, I mean, if you write down one, so, okay, so 30 days from when? It'll be helpful for people to know which day.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be $550,000 for 30 days, starting on December 15th through January 15th. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
bid opening January 16th at 1 p.m.?
Yes. What is January 16th?
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
I want to be on a Sunday.
That's what I'm looking at.
It's a Friday, I think.
January 15th? Yeah, that's not good on a Sunday.
15th is a Thursday, 16th is a Friday.
Bid opening on 16th.
Yeah, there we go.
On a Thursday, okay?
On a Friday.
On a Friday.
16th is a Friday.
1 p.m.
At 1 p.m.?
That's usually when we do it.
Yeah, okay, good. And anyone in the bid openings are public, so anyone who wants to come can come.
The district office.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. Motion to put to sale the Millerton Elementary School building out to bid at the price of not less than $550,000. The superintendent is directed to create the specs for the bid to be sponsored 30 days, starting December 15th, ending January 15th. The bids will be open on the 16th of January at 1 p.m. in the district office. Motion's made.
Second.
And seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, you guys have it?
Who made the first? Me.
I did.
I have some questions about the process. I don't know if it's okay if I ask them. Is it, so when you open the bids, it's winner take all? Nobody gets to then revise their bid or find out, you know, that's it?
In this case, it would be the highest acceptable bid. It's usually the lowest because we're looking for people to do work for us, but in this case, it would be the highest acceptable. They use the word responsible when they're doing work for us. I would use acceptable here because if it's something that's likely to drag out the closing and throw everything into turmoil, we have room to wiggle there, so.
But acceptable, highest and best of our reserve.
Highest and best use, except, yep.
So this board has talked about retaining the building as a community asset and that sort of thing. So my question then is, how does something like that factor into, and I won't have anything to do, I won't be a part of the decision, obviously. But how will intention of the building, how does that get to factor in if it's a winner take all? How is it fair? How do you?
Well, that's where the best use is. I mean, I think if we look at it and somebody wants to.
Well, it'll come out on a board agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you normally would see, whether it's a truck or a bus, you'll see all the numbers, who's the bidder.
And I mean, it's gonna be a public discussion and the board has to accept it at a public meeting, so it's not, you know.
And might decide to reject it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like we did with the truck or whatever.
Can we put in there for, try to keep the building out for public use and community? Or if we put that in there, and say we put 550 on it and we get a bid for 550, 600, or 700,000. Do, by law, do we have to take the highest bidder?
That's my question.
It's consuming acceptable.
Yeah. The information from Jay, when he sent it to us last time, did say we had flexibility. So, I mean, like if somebody bids $1,000 more and wants to turn it into condos and as opposed to a community building, I wouldn't have a hard time making that decision, you know? I mean, it's, we are allowed to consider the use.
We'll get clarification from Jay as far as.
Their input was, it's time to make a decision. And then once the decision is made, they will walk us through the process from that point forward.
Thank you.
The only thing that happens at the bid opening is it's public what people are bidding it for, you know?
Yes.
You can go and find out what other people are.
Yeah, they don't get to make a decision, yeah.
You know, bidding it, you know, dollar amount.
We put it into a spreadsheet and give it to you.
Yeah.
And then the board discusses and decides.
You'll give it, because it'll be a public document, so you can then give it to me. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, so our Millerton building issue is closed right now. Okay, move on to public comment. Yes.
I would like to know how you could decide being the people's best interest to not give it to a person that wants to turn into condominiums, say. I know no one, I'm not connected with anybody, I have no idea what it's gonna be.
I should have.
When in turn, after it's finished being condominiums, you're also looking at the long-term revenue that the school would be reaping every year from the taxes from the condominium. So you guys are gonna have so many multipliers to try to work through when it comes to selling it to a nonprofit or a private individual who wants to turn it into something where you're gonna be pulling tons of revenue from, which the school desperately needs every year. The criteria wasn't really set for the bidding process, whether it's gonna be sealed and open on a certain day. I don't think you guys gave yourself enough time for the lawyer to draw up the proposals and submit it and still have the 30-day window with advertising and everything. You have to, it's from the time that you advertise it for 30 days. It's not
right, and if
just
it doesn't,
the time you picked.
If it doesn't get out by December 15th, then it will move forward.
Step.
That's why we said 30 days. But I should have made it more clear, because I'm the one who said condos as a wild. Right now it's not zoned for condos. So if part of the process is, I have no doubt that if somebody put in a bid and said, we want to build condos, it's going to be contingent. Their bid is going to be contingent on being able to obtain a zoning change. Well, how long does a zoning change take? Are we talking about putting off the sale of the building for 6 months because we think we might get an extra $1,000? I myself would not be in favor of that, because that's the kinds of things I'm talking about, not arbitrarily deciding what's good for people and what's not. The length of time that it would take to close, whatever the contingencies are that someone is willing to go to contract with, those are the things that would, in my opinion, be open to discussion and be open to a decision on. But again, we're going to get guidance from the attorney. It's not just, no, we don't like you because you want to do condos. But if we're going to be sitting here again a year from now and someone says, well, I haven't gotten an answer back from the planning or the zoning board yet or something, that's not going to make me a happy camper, because then we've got another year not taking care of the problem. Then we're going to have to do something about the roof. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when I say that. I threw it out there casually, but I didn't explain very well what I meant, so I apologize.
And the attorneys are ready. They know that this is
It is true. I mean, we asked them like a month and a half ago, so they're just waiting to hear which it is. And then in this instance, the specs are going to be for the buyer, not for us.
Right. I mean, you I understand $1,000 difference. What is going to be the cutoff? If it's $75,000 more, are you going to, okay, then I have to take that, or... I would really not want to be the village board and explain to the taxpayers, well, I took the lower bid because it felt better with it, and here's your tax bill. It would kind of be...
Unfortunately, we make these decisions all the time. Sometimes people are happy, sometimes people aren't. If we need to cut a teaching position, which we've had to in the past, and I remember 2 years ago when we sat and talked about having to make a music position 0.6 instead of full-time, there was a lot of community input, and ultimately we have to decide whether we think that cut is going to impact the kids more and the taxpayers, or whether other things that they may need in other areas, right? I mean, unfortunately, it comes with the job, and there is no one else to make the decision. I mean, short of what we have to do by law, anything that is actually open to interpretation and decision, That's what we do. It's the same as Village. When you do the budget, I mean, you guys come up with what you think is the best you can get for that money. Is everybody going to agree? No, but it's part and parcel of the job, you know? Somebody has to decide, and I sincerely hope it's fairly clear. If it's not, yeah, it's not going to be an easy decision, but somebody has to decide.
That's a very
nice thing. I would have taken completely the opposite approach. I would have used a real estate agent, because then you could decide. The first person that comes up and offers you money for the property, you can take it. You don't have to have a sealed bid where it's going to, you literally, if it's not within a few thousand dollars, you literally have to take the highest bidder. You really committed yourselves to the highest bidder.
Well, we can have it put in the language.
I mean, that we can look into, but honestly, I can't imagine, as far as someone wanting to buy it, I don't think they're any less likely to put in a bid than they are to come to a real estate agent. The difference is that with a real estate agent, if someone is going to put in a bid for $500,000, we get to keep the $500,000. Someone comes to a real estate agent with $500,000, we're out $30,000 right from the word go.
You can look at it that way. You can also look at it that the real estate agent is going to get you 6% higher of a price, because that's what they do. They have their connections, and they know where the people are that are going to buy the property, and they will get you a better price, because the bigger the price, the bigger their commission. That's the way it works with real estate.
Well, and there are real estate agents who work as buyer's agents, and hopefully if they're interested in getting something for their buyers, they'll come to us and they'll get the 6% from their buyer. So it doesn't have to be a seller's agent. I mean, if there's really interest out there and agents think they have people to buy, let them bring it forward, and then the other guy's paying the 6%, not us.
That's fine.
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not trying to be flip in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not saying that one point of view is better than the other. I'm just saying, as we've said, we got to decide at some point or another. And it's, you make the best decision you can. That's all. And, you know, people may like it or not like it. We're doing the best we can.
And we've certainly done our due diligence, and the fact is, you know, the question's been broached many times. What are we going to do? What should we do? We're going to sell the property. That's just what we need to do.
Ed?
Other logistics.
Thanks very much, Bill. My name is Ed Downey. I'm a resident of Fullerton. I just wanted to make some comments that tie together some of the observations that board members have made. There's been a discussion of what's an appropriate price to seek. There's also been a discussion of the importance or relative value of the community's involvement with this building. And as you know from having done it, the school district has the authority to place, put to the voters whether or not this building could be given to the town and the village at no cost without any money being received. And you did that, and the voters approved it. And the rationale behind that is, I'm assuming, that it's because the community has invested in this building. So there is some value that the community has in it. So as you get bids, it seems to me the instinct that you've expressed here to look at what the community value that might be realized if a particular use of one sort or another is made of it, is relevant, and may even be relevant to whether or not you need to be looking for a price as high as what your reserve is, because the community as a whole has already voted to allow it, in the circumstance where you're permitted to do it, to sell that, quote, give that building away without recovering any of the reserve of what your bond issue is. So that's out there. It's historic information, and it would seem to me, I would encourage you to talk with your attorney about the relevance of that information as you assess proposals that are presented to you.
The only people we're allowed to give it to are other public governmental agencies.
I understand that.
And we have asked for 2 to 3 years, both the town and the village, if they were interested in it. And they're not able to take it on. It's not, I'm not saying they're not willing to, they're not able, because there's a lot of money that comes with needing to fix it.
And even if we did, if they in turn couldn't, to my understanding, keep up or maintain that agreement, they couldn't turn around and sell it either.
No, it would come back to us.
Come back to us.
Come back to our ownership, up to 20 years.
With that still attached.
Yeah.
It's for municipal use. But the broader point was the reasoning behind it. Why does the law exist to allow you to do that? And I think the reasoning behind it is it's a recognition that this is a community asset.
Right? Absolutely.
It's an asset the community's invested in for years. So what I was, the point I was making was not, was to discuss with your attorney the appropriateness of considering potential community benefit to any use that may be proposed to you in the bidding.
Well, the education law does say that you can consider that when you're, if you are actually selling it instead, you can consider that. If you're renting, you can consider that. So that's, I mean, that is in the law, and that's what we're trying to say, perhaps not in the most clear way, obviously, possible. But I agree. I mean, that's what we're getting at. It's the government takes very seriously the fact that you've spent citizens' money to purchase, maintain, etc., this property, and they would like to see it benefit community members. And again, people can have discussions about what a benefit is, but somebody has to. The use in the public interest is one of the allowable things. So,
why don't you list the criteria for the buyer?
But yeah, we can.
If you're going to do that, then it's going to narrow it right down, and you're going to eliminate 90% of the people that are going to buy it.
Well, and I'm assuming the relevant state law is going to be part of the specs. Actually, I certainly would think it should be. Because
the thing with doing that is you also eliminate the potential for a significant amount of money if there's someone interested in that space. And that I personally think, I would love to see it be a community positive benefit, but there's also the potential for entities to build other buildings and occupy those buildings for benefits, while I think we should try to pull in as much money as we can from that building. And I mean, who's going to spend $1 million on that building and then turn it into something horrible? You know, it doesn't make sense. Nobody's going to put $550,000 out and make it something horrible. There is going to be an investment for anyone.
And I agree. If there was $100,000 difference between bids, I'd have to seriously consider the fact that that's two teachers for a year and hopefully continuing tax revenue. But again, as I say, if that comes along with, well, here, we'll give you this deposit, but we're going to ask for a 6 month to a year window while we see whether we can get the qualifications or changes and planning approvals, etc., that we need, then that would make it a little less palatable at that point. And again, I can't come up with all the, because you don't know. I mean, there's no way to guess what variables could be there. But I assure you, we're not just going to ignore the fact that it's taxpayers that pay for this district and the kids' education. And there are, I mean, there are ways to help them that involve money. There are ways to help them in terms of saving money for them. There are ways to help them in other ways. And we're going to look at it all. I mean, you guys will have access to all of the information we have access to. And if you think we're doing a crummy job, you'll vote us out, you know? I don't know what to say. I think we all understand where you're coming from.
Process.
Well,
that's just my own opinion.
Yeah.
John?
I'm curious to know a little bit about the balance of the bond. You say there's $440,000 balance on a bond. Now, did that originate solely on the Milligan Elementary School, or was that something that was a multi-purpose bond for
The last money we put into the Millerton building.
Okay.
That was their portion of the last building project.
We had four buildings at the time.
Right.
We did elevator in Millerton and Armenia. We did a lot of other renovations, bathrooms, restoration, handicap accessibility.
What I mean is the balance, that $440,000 balance, is that a collective balance from the entire amount?
No, that's just on the Millerton building.
Okay.
That's the remaining debt on Millerton.
In public accounting, it all has to be broken down to building and everything else so that you know what.
But we were at that time, we had a $20 million project, so just right, yeah. $19.6 million. We were going to put more money in that building, but we decided not to because our classes were dropping them.
And shortly after that, we voted to close the building.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided not to spend.
And then we brought the pre-K back there for three or four years. And then, was it 3 years ago now that we stopped? Using it for
pre-K?
Five years.
Time flies,
doesn't it? Yeah, the totality of what's still owed is something like $11 or $12 million, right? For that entire project, yeah.
We're almost halfway. So.
Yeah. It's going to be a little more.
2022, it was a 20-year bond.
Yeah. So that's only for that building.
Anybody else? Public comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, now we need a motion to move into the exec session to discuss particular personnel matters.
So moved.
Motion's made.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Yeah, it's okay.
Do we need something?
No, I don't think so.